praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry. During his ministry, Witness Lee emphasized the experience of Christ as life and the practical oneness of the believers. He was unbending in his conviction that God's goal is the body of Christ. Through his messages, he stressed the importance for us to grow in life and to function as Christians so that the body can build itself up. We're happy to bring you recorded portions from his ministry today, along with some of our own thoughts, and we welcome your comments and questions. You can reach us toll-free at 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Now let's join today's program. The Bible reveals that God's heart's desire is to have close and intimate contact with man, to be one with man, and even to come into man as life. In order to accomplish this, God has made many covenants or promises with man throughout history. But of all these covenants, only two are really counted by God: the Old Testament covenant of the law given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai, and the New Testament covenant of grace enacted by the Lord Jesus on the cross at Calvary. Although this new covenant was not enacted until hundreds of years later, it is clearly foretold in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah in chapter 31. "Indeed, days are coming, declares Jehovah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by their hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was their husband, declares Jehovah. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares Jehovah. I will put my law within them and write it upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." Marvelous new covenant seen in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. Francis Paul has joined us for our fellowship on really our last program of the life study of Jeremiah. I'm glad you could be here for this concluding fellowship that really ends on a positive note, doesn't it, Francis?
I am so happy to get into this particular broadcast and this particular message, which brings us into God's heart.
Francis, if we look at the Bible carefully, as I mentioned a moment ago here, a number of covenants. Most, I think, scholars identify maybe eight covenants altogether, including the covenant that God made with Noah after the flood and many other secondary covenants. But there are these two that are really the hallmarks of the whole divine revelation, aren't there?
Yes, that's the marvel about this, and this is what God's people everywhere need to realize. These two covenants are the ones on God's heart, particularly what we refer to today as the New Covenant, the covenant that was spoken of by Jeremiah.
The Lord Jesus, at the event that is most commonly referred to as the Last Supper, there's several accounts of it in the various Gospels, but in Luke 22, verses 19 and 20, it says, "And he took a loaf and gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is being given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And then verse 20, "And similarly, the cup after they had dined, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant established in my blood, which is being poured out for you.'" So here is finally the enactment of this new covenant that Jeremiah was talking about. And we, as the New Testament believers, get ushered right into the enjoyment, the benefit of it. Of course, Israel is still waiting for the benefit of this covenant to be enacted upon them. But that is coming as well, isn't it, that day?
That's a promise we have in Jeremiah, and also we have this in Hebrews in the New Testament.
Well, let's touch Witness Lee's first fellowship today. We're going to see the significant characteristic of this covenant that distinguishes it from the old, the first. That is, this one really implies this intimate fellowship and contact between God and man, not just an external set of do's and don'ts for man to live up to. Entirely different, much, much higher, and really one that's full of hope and promise.
The Bible shows us God's heart desire is to be one with man. So God always liked to contact man. In his contact with man, God often made covenants with me. God's heart is only on one covenant. What covenant? The second covenant, the new covenant, the covenant of life. All the other covenants, only one is the base of the new covenant. That's the one God made with Abraham. We ought to realize, even though God made covenants time after time with people, God would only care for one covenant. That is the new covenant. Then, what is the content of the new covenant? It's just the triune God, after all the processes and all the steps he has taken. This very God, who is triune, and who was processed, and who was also consummated, becomes everything to God's chosen people. And this is the content of the new covenant, the second covenant, the covenant that God promised to Israel in Jeremiah's book. And this promise in Jeremiah's book was absolutely, thoroughly, completely, fully fulfilled by the Lord Jesus when he set up his table. At the table, he made a covenant with the New Testament believers. That is a new covenant, which Paul refers to in Hebrews chapter 8, which he quoted from Jeremiah 31. Based upon this, Jeremiah is not a small book.
Francis, to see this kind of linkage between Jeremiah's words and the Lord Jesus here in this very profound and pivotal point in the whole divine revelation, these two covenants being spoken of are really the same covenant, which shows that this has always been at the center of God's heart, isn't it?
When we read the Bible carefully and get the ministry that has been brought to us in these days, we realize that God's intention from the very beginning is with man. The minute he created man, something changed in God's dealing with all of his creation. He did everything from that time on through a covenant with man. So we have these two covenants which really will reveal where we are today. And so I think we're really in for a treat and something that every Christian should have a full awareness of, because many are stuck with the first covenant and not enjoying the benefits of the second or the new covenant.
One of the key covenants of these earlier ones, in addition to the two main ones that we're focused on, the Lord Jesus, when he brought Abraham, who was Abram at that time, out of Babylon, out of Chaldea, and into the good land, into Canaan, he makes a kind of covenant with him there that Witness Lee just referred to as a base for the new covenant prophesied by Jeremiah. And that promise to Abraham is also brought up by the Apostle Paul in Galatians, I believe, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. And it's very important we realize that this covenant he made with Abraham was an eternal covenant. And it really is applicable, but it's not defined until you get a prophecy like Jeremiah's.
Yeah. So we're talking about, in essence, the same burden, the same thing on the heart of God being revealed to Abraham when he said, all the nations of the earth will be blessed in you.
Yeah,
of course,
right.
That was a clear indication of the seed that was going to come out of Abraham, ultimately to be the Lord Jesus. Well, God's people Israel, of course, had this direct covenant given to them in Exodus chapter 25 when Moses is on Mount Sinai and the Lord there gives him these two tablets with the 10 initial commandments to be followed by a number of ordinances and regulations that were added. But this covenant of law became the whole focus of the Old Testament, still very much the focus of God's Old Testament people, Israel. And as you pointed out a moment ago, in a very probably real and practical way, is still the kind of covenant that drives a lot of his New Testament people, which means that there's a whole blessing being missed out upon, isn't there?
Not long ago, I was talking to my neighbor about the Bible, and he said, well, all we need to do is keep the Ten Commandments. And I said, well, actually, there is something far better than the Ten Commandments that's been promised to God's people.
Wow.
So I hope that we could get through in this broadcast with some that may be limiting themselves in their concept, that they have to try to do something in the way of keeping God's commandments, which were really a covenant given by God, but not for the purpose of the new covenant.
Yeah, and I think what we'll see in this coming portion that's very helpful in understanding these two covenants and how they relate is that the first covenant was really a kind of an added covenant. Paul makes that clear in Romans chapter 5. He says, "And the law entered in alongside," meaning this was something added after the fact. And of course, it was added because of the fall and the sin and the sins of mankind. The verse concludes or continues, "that the offense might abound." In other words, to make the offense known, man needed the law. But where sin abounded, grace has superabounded. Amen. And that really puts these two things in their proper respective order, doesn't it?
That's right.
All right, let's go back to Witness Lee.
Jeremiah, based upon the new covenant, his writing is more important than Moses' writing. But the Jewish people paid their attention to the wrong person. Did Moses bring in the new covenant, the covenant of life?
No.
So Moses, sorry to say, has nothing to do with the new covenant. Moses' writing didn't tell us clearly that the covenant God made with him is related to Christ. No. Vice versa, the covenant of law had nothing to do with Jesus. And the position of the covenant of the law was a position of the concubine. Paul, in Galatians 4, told us Abraham has two wives. And these two wives symbolize two covenants. Sarah, the proper wife, symbolizes the new covenant. And Hagar, the concubine, symbolizes the old covenant made with Moses. Moses' covenant was there, quite prevailing, but after Christ came, Christ put that aside. That was over. Based upon this, is Moses important or Jeremiah important? But, big but, without Moses, Jeremiah cannot expose Israel to the uttermost. You know, Jeremiah in his book, he always referred to Moses' covenant. You children of Israel, you break God's covenant. You break all the commandments. Where are the commandments? They are in the old covenant, the covenant made with Moses. So, was Moses useful?
Yes.
With what purpose? With a purpose just to condemn us. Moses, his ministry was a condemnation ministry. And Christ's ministry is a ministry of justification. Eventually, in God's economy, sorry to say, Moses is not in the center line. Don't treasure the law so much. But the law does have a function to expose our real fallen condition. And this helps us to turn to the source, to turn the fountain of the living water, which now in the New Testament is just Christ as God's embodiment.
Francis, we had a program a couple of days ago when we saw that the sequence in Jeremiah perfectly matches the sequence of the whole Bible. God presents himself to man as the source of life. Man rejects the source of life and as a result commits all manner of sins, necessitating the need for this righteous shoot to come forth to accomplish redemption to bring us back to the ultimate source of life. And that's Jeremiah. It seems like that is the picture that's being unfolded, even in as we look at these covenants and how they play out. The law, the old covenant, has its role. As we have seen, all these negative, dark chapters in Jeremiah had a definite place in exposing Israel's condition. But that's not the end. That's not the goal, is it, just to have it exposed and condemned?
That's really wonderful. I tell you, this Bible is marvelous, but it's handled in a wrong way so much of the time by trying to find out what do we have to do to get right with God. And the law really exposes man to the uttermost that there's nothing he can do to get right with God, because the penalty of their offense, of their sin, is death. And this is a ministry of death. So that's what the law does. But then, as we go on in Jeremiah, we see there is a day that has come, at that time would come, but now we know it has come, when a new covenant will be made with the people of God, not only with Israel, but also on the cross, Christ made both Jew and Gentile one people. So we are included in this new covenant, where God wants to blend himself, to mingle himself, to put himself into man, to be life to man. So this new covenant is a covenant of life, whereas the old covenant is a covenant of death. Praise the Lord, we're in the days of the new covenant.
Wow. Well, we read the covenant in Jeremiah 31 at the beginning of the program. I think to set up the last segment, I'd like to read it again, only this time as it was quoted in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 through 13. For this is the covenant which I will covenant with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will impart my laws into their mind, and on their hearts I will inscribe them. And I will be God to them, and they will be a people to me. And they shall by no means teach his fellow citizen and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all will know me, from the little one to the great one among them. For I will be propitious to their unrighteousnesses, and their sins I shall by no means remember any more. In saying a new covenant, he has made the first old, but that which is becoming old and growing decrepit is near to disappearing.
As Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Near to disappearing. It's because we don't need the old covenant for a purpose of trying to get right with God.
Wow.
And to have life from God. But for this, we need and we have the new covenant, which was actually completed, instituted, and passed on to us when the Lord Jesus broke the bread with his early disciples.
Wonderful. All right, here's Witness Lee for our final portion today.
What is the greatest part, the most important portion of the book of Jeremiah? The new covenant is the greatest portion of Jeremiah. Who told us this first? Jeremiah. Who prophesied this first? Jeremiah. No other prophets prophesied the new covenant, only Jeremiah. So you have to consider Jeremiah to be a book of the New Testament. When the day of restoration comes, you will meet Jeremiah. Jeremiah will meet you. He will call you brother. Have you read my book? You know, I, Jeremiah, laid the foundation of your new covenant. In the Bible, who was the first one who touched the new covenant?
Jeremiah.
Who prophesied the new covenant in such a marvelous way that God will put firstly his law within us, and then write his law into our mind, that we may know God, and that God may be our God, and that we may be his people, and that we don't need anyone to teach us. We don't have a teaching life within us. And also, this new covenant tells us clearly God has settled our problem of sin. He will forgive us our iniquity, and he will never remember our sins. Iniquity and sin were all settled. No problem between us and God. It is only the enjoyment of God as the life, as the inner now, that refers to God the person, also refers to the divine capacity of this divine life. Marvelous. This is why we need another 27 books, New Testament, to define this one short portion of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, not the whole chapter, just a short portion, covers the entire New Testament, 27 books. But sorry to say, you know, today, many believers who believed in Jesus Christ, who received the blessing of the new covenant, yet they didn't know. They are not aware of this. They are not aware of this. But this is where we have the burden.
A very kind of poignant exclamation point, I think, there, the conclusion of this message, Francis. We all, as New Testament believers, have had a certain benefit of the new covenant by which we enter into God's salvation through grace. But in a very real way, many of God's people still live under the principle of the old covenant in complete ignorance or being unaware of the full benefit of this new covenant, don't they?
I'm afraid that's certainly true, and I believe that many of God's people, New Testament believers, have not read the book of Jeremiah, and not very thoroughly. But I have to admit, I never realized that so much was contained in chapter 31 of Jeremiah that would reveal and take the whole New Testament to fully explain what's in that covenant. But that's really the case. God's desire is to get into us, to be life to us, to be everything to us, and that's what the whole New Testament is talking about. But it's based on those verses in Jeremiah, which are really the words of the new covenant. He's put a law into our mind, into our spirit, and he's writing it in our mind, and this is transpiring right now while we're talking and while you're listening.
And of course, the New Testament makes clear that the fulfillment of the law is the Lord Jesus himself. So to have this law written into our being, our mind, and our hearts, is really to have the Lord himself inscribed into us, as Paul says in Corinthians, as a kind of living ink, writing these letters of Christ. This is the same covenant, the same fulfillment being worked out. And rather than to live in the principle of the old covenant, where the law is just outside us, external, a demand that we'll never really fully meet, what a robbery that God's enemy has effected upon his people.
God never allows his law to be diminished, but he does allow for it and he provide for it to be fulfilled. So that was fulfilled in Christ. This is God's plan. This is God's economy to work himself into us as life. So Christ can be at home in our heart by this new covenant.
Isn't that something, Francis? Two short verses in Jeremiah and then 27 New Testament books to define it, develop it, and really impart it into us through faith.
Yes. We wish that all God's people could get this view of this new covenant and realize what they are in.
Well, that is very much the burden that we have, I think, in this ministry and our labors here to produce these radio programs, as well as the hundreds of titles of books that we produce at Living Stream. It's to give this New Testament view, this view through the eyes of God's New Testament economy, that this covenant become more than just a topic for Bible study, but the very principle upon which we live and through which we relate to God each day.
Amen.
It's been a real treat, hasn't it, this life study?
Oh, I should say, this is a top one. If it's the last one, it's really at the top.
Francis, thanks for your fellowship as always. And thank you. We'd like to leave you with a toll-free number. We hope you'll contact us about getting the printed messages of Jeremiah and Lamentations. And if you're interested, please call us toll-free 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Whether you're hearing this program via radio, online, or as a podcast, you'll find hundreds of audio studies just like this one by visiting our website, lsmradio.com. We also hope you'll email us with your questions or comments, radio@lsm.org, or call us toll-free, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Thanks for listening.
Was Jesus simply a great religious leader?
The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. Based on the scriptures, the religious people were looking for a great leader, but Jesus was introduced to them as a little lamb with a little dove. The lamb is for redemption, to redeem fallen man back to God, and the dove is for life-giving, for anointing, to anoint man with what God is, to bring God into man and man into God. Both the lamb and the dove are needed for man to participate in God. Scripture, John 1:29, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.